and do laundry, okay? And then let me think. Oh, you've got to drive everyone around. All of you that have four kids, you probably have your sleeping bag in your car because all you do is drive kids all over the creation, right? So you're driving everybody around. How about this? You got to pay, pay bills. Oh, and then you got to deal with people. Anybody have to deal with people occasionally? Yeah, all right, okay. And so we kind of have, and the emails. So I just so you know, unless it's blood and guts and death, Monday, I'm off. And if you're dead, it doesn't make any difference because you're dead. Well, I'm talking a lot about dying, but really. Okay, so, but we got lots going on, right? We got lots going on in our life, and we probably need a little bit of peace. Everybody say, I need some peace. All right. But here's the thing. Jesus willed, he has a will for you, and in his will, he willed some things for you, and he's willed you peace. All right, he's willed you peace. Matter of fact, open up to Romans 8:17, or just open your Bibles or write it down. Okay, Jesus named you in his will. How many want to be in Jesus's will? All right, Romans 8:17, and since we are his children, we are his what? Heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. All right. Now, Jesus mentions three things that he willed. Three things. Okay, the first one, this is what I crack up sometimes. This first one, he willed his mother to John. He didn't say mother-in-law because he wasn't married, but some of you are like, could I do that for my mother-in-law? No. Focus, D. Pastor D, focus. He willed his mother to John, and that's found in John chapter 19, and I'll read it to you. When Jesus is on the cross. It's bad. He's on the cross. They've nailed him. He's okay. When Jesus saw his mother standing there beside his disciple that he loved, John, he said to her, his mom, dear woman, here is your son, right? And he looked at his disciple that he loved. Everybody tell me who it is. John. And he says, here is your mother. From then on, his disciple took care of her in his home. Okay, so Jesus willed his mother. Another thing he willed is his spirit to the Father. He willed his spirit to the Father. And if you want to take notes, I'm just going to tell it to you. It's in Luke 23, verse 46. Jesus is on the cross. He says, this is finished. It is finished. Father, I have done all that you sent me to do. And now I commit my spirit to you. So Jesus willed his mom to John, his spirit to the Father. And number three, and this is where we're going for the rest of the day. Ready? He willed his peace to you. You ought to write that down. He willed his peace to you. And we're going to find that in John chapter 14, where he's talking to his disciples. It's the Last Supper, and he's got the boys with him that he's done 3.5 years of life with. And he says, hey, listen, I'm going away, but I'm going to come back, and you need to know this. And he says, John chapter 14, verse 27, peace I leave you. Then he said, my peace I give you. Okay, and then he goes on and he explains about this peace that's really different than the world's peace. Okay, and he goes on, the rest of that verse he says, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. So, we have just read five words that have the potential to change your life. Ready? My peace I give to you. Oh, I got one extra in there. Okay. My peace I give to you. All righty? Now, he promises to give us a different kind of peace. And I just said there's a world kind of peace, a worldly peace, and then there's a God kind of peace. Okay, worldly peace. What are you talking about, Pastor D? Worldly peace. Okay, it's sort of a fake peace, a pseudo peace. It's temporary, and it kind of helps you cope, such as, the drug. I promise if you smoke this funny stuff, you will feel peace and easy. I promise. Yep. You know, you'll get high and you'll feel good and it'll last for a while and then it's going to screw up your life. Yeah. Ask me. I'm a child of the 60s and 70s. Man. Okay. How about this one? Worldly priests, drink. Oh, you can just drink all your sorrows away and you'll feel good and peaceful. All right. How about this one? And I like this one. Vacation. If I just go to the beach, if I just go to the mountains, if I just go to Disney World, I will have this release and peace, right? Okay, well, yeah, it'll help for a while, right? It'll help for a while, but here's the thing. When you come back, you're still you, and your credit card shows up in 30 days on what you spent. Yeah, really, 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 okay? So how about this one? If I just had a little bit more money, then I'll be at peace. Okay, so say you get a little bit more money and you pay off your bills. And maybe you're really nice and you're generous. But here's the deal. And y'all know this, but there's no amount of money that can fill the void on the inside of you. Amen. No amount of money. Amen. So there's a worldly peace, which is pseudo peace, just, it's not the deal, all right? And then there's godly peace. So everybody say, what's godly peace? Open up to Isaiah chapter 26, okay? Isaiah nailed it. So Isaiah chapter 26, he describes godly peace. Isaiah chapter 26, all right? So let me give you a little background before we read it. Isaiah is an Old Testament prophet. He's one of the big boys because he's got a lot of words, a lot of pages. And he is prophesying to Israel. And Israel, right about now, is it's actually a culture very similar to ours. What's going on in Israel when he starts prophesying is very similar to ours. We are in a, or they, let's go they. They're in a culture where it's complicated economics. They've got high interest rates, and they've got this really difficult election coming up. Just calling a spade, right? And they've got wars and rumors of wars. So they got all this stuff going on, similar to our culture, okay? And Isaiah prophesies to everybody. And listen, there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear going on, okay? And in the middle of all that, he's got these words. He prophesies. Now, Old Testament prophets and New Testament prophets, we got them both. Okay, they didn't die when the last died, okay? We have New Testament prophets. But this Old Testament prophet would hear from God, and so would the kings. They would hear from God, and they would speak out over the nation. And so in the middle of this that's going on, he says, yo, you are just going to get into wild worship, and then there's going to be a heavenly peace. All right, so let's read it. Ready? Isaiah chapter 26, verse 1. He said, in that day, where all that nya, nya, nya is going on, in that day, everyone in the land of Judah will sing this song. Our city is strong. We're surrounded by the walls of God's salvation. Open the gates, all who are righteous, and allow the faithful to enter. All right? And then he declares verse 3. Watch this. Well, they're all together, but I'm calling it verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you. All right. How many of you want perfect peace? I'm coming to your house, okay? How many want perfect peace? Amen. We want perfect peace. Now, the word peace, and most of you know this, in the Hebrew, it's the word shalom, right? It's the word shalom. It's actually used even to this day as a greeting. It's like you walk up to somebody and you say, shalom, hey, what's up? You know, God bless you. Shalom. It's how they say hello, all right? Turn to your neighbor and say shalom. Shalom. Amen. Doesn't that feel good? But it also means, and I'm going to read this and you should write it down, wholesomeness, completeness, fullness of peace. Wow. Shalom. Okay, so if I came up to you and I'd say shalom, it's like, may you have the fullness of God's peace. May you have God's peace on your life. May you have God's peace. If I came up and said shalom, may you have God's peace on this person here. All right? May you have God's peace in the circumstances that you're in the middle of that you'd rather not be in. Shalom. All right? Why? Because God is good all the time, and Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he says, my peace I give you. Now, in the original, I love, you know, the original scholars and stuff, that when Isaiah said peace, it was translated wrong, okay? It's really shalom, shalom. Two words, back to back. Everybody say shalom, shalom. And you know what that means? Double portion of peace. How many like a double portion of ice cream? Okay? This is better. Okay? A double portion of peace. He's saying a double portion of peace. So may you have peace and then even more peace on your peace. That's amazing. All right? So, but the translators simply said, perfect peace. I don't know about you, but a double portion to me is perfect peace. Double portion is perfect peace, okay? And Jesus says, my peace I give you, all right? Okay, thanks, Jesus. Thank you for this peace. But why am I still anxious? Why am I so frustrated and worried, okay? Well, let me ask you a question. Can I have perfect peace when my kid is hanging out with the wrong crowd? Can I have perfect peace when I know they're doing some big, bad, dirty, dangerous stuff? Can I have perfect peace when I recognize that there's porn going on in my house? They're viewing porn in my house. Can I have peace?
No.
Wrong answer. Can I have peace? Listen, listen, listen. When my best friend just betrayed me and lied about me. Come on, what did Jesus say? Five words that can change your life. Can I have peace when the doctor gives me the report I never wanted to hear? Can I have peace when there's a lot of month left and not the money? Okay, all right? Can I have peace when my heart is beating and I can't even breathe and I feel anxious? Can I have peace? Right answer there. Okay, thank you, Jonathan. All right, so here's the thing. How do I get peace? Write that down. Take notes. How do I get peace? Isaiah tells you. Isaiah, ready? He says, you will keep him in perfect peace, all who trust in God and whose thoughts are fixed on God. Now, notice it does not say, it doesn't say you'll have perfect peace when you just suck into the news. It doesn't say you'll have perfect peace when you are looking at everything on social media and you're sending it to your friends so they can be mad with you. None of you do that here. I know that. All right? Okay? Okay, here. All right, so let's read that again. You will be kept in perfect peace, all whose thoughts are fixed on God. You will be kept in heavenly peace, all of you alls whose thoughts are kept on him. Amen. Okay? So how do you get peace? There's the answer, all right? If you're taking notes, I got about 4 one-liners. You ought to write them down. Posting notes for the week. Ready? The battle for peace begins in your mind. The battle for peace begins in your mind. And, you know, people say, well, you know, sometimes I feel like there's this war going on. I mean, honestly, I feel like there's war going on in my head. Okay? And I know this is ridiculous. Like, I'm the preacher, and I should know this. And I can tell you all the promises of God, and I can tell you you can have peace. But there's oftentimes I don't. What? You're not perfect? Nope, not until I get to heaven, all right? You will be kept in perfect peace, all whose thoughts are fixed on God, all whose thoughts are fixed on the Word of God, all whose thoughts are fixed on the promise of God, you will have perfect peace. Amen. All right. Fixed. Definition of fixed. In the Hebrew, samach. I just like saying that. Every once in a while I can pronounce one of them, samach. Okay? Samach. Anyway, it means to lean completely, to fully rest oneself. Okay, so how? Okay, perfect peace. All right, perfect peace. Let me see. Your mind is leaning on God's word. Your mind, your thoughts are completely at rest on the word of God. Your mind, your thoughts, okay, is fixed on the truth of this and the power of the word and the promises of God. Amen. So what does fixed mean? Lean completely, fully rest oneself, fixed. All right, so let me ask you a question. Write this down. What's your mind fixed on? I'll just say the last 24 hours, because some of you are, if I gave you a whole week, okay? What's your mind fixed on, okay? Because sometimes my mind gets fixed on every worst-case scenario. Pastor D? Oh, yeah. Some of you know me, okay? All right? And you're like, okay, so I got my mind fixed on the worst-case scenario. I go to bed at night. I wake up in the middle of the night. I go back to sleep, and I wake up in the morning, and my mind is looping on this thing or this storm or scenario, then I've got fear, and I've got worry, and I've got anxiety. Anybody ever loop? Okay, so what's your mind fixed on? Just today. All right, now, why does it matter? Why does it matter? Here's my little next one. Ready? Write this down. What consumes your mind controls your mind. What consumes your mind, your thoughts, will control you. All right. Advertisement, book. Ready? It's by Mac Hammond. Oh, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Mac Hammond, amazing book. It's called Soul Control. And it's really, whoever controls this controls your life. Whoever controls this controls your life. And of course, Joyce Meyer's, what? The Battlefield of the Mind. Great books, great books. And I'm not sure we even have in our bookstore anymore, but you can go on Amazon and give 10% to YCF. Okay, anyway. All right. So, what controls your mind? Why does it matter? Well, because that's why the Apostle Paul wrote Philippians 4. Open up, Philippians 4, chapter 8. Philippians 4, chapter 8. Now, Paul is writing to Christians. Raise your hand if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So he's writing this to us, okay? He's writing to Christians, alrighty? And here he says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Now, I am notorious. Just one more thing. Just, you know, before you leave, just anybody chase you out the door. Just one more thing. I got to tell you one more thing, all right? So here's Paul chasing them around. One more thing. One more thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Okay, put the brakes on here, okay? So, what is true? What does God's word say that is true about you? What does God's promises, his word, say is true about your situation that you're in the middle of? Okay, just saying. All right, keep reading. So, fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, and right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. In case you haven't noticed, almost everything you read and you hear going on in the world is just the opposite of what's admirable, what's beautiful, what's, you know, like, you need to fix your thoughts on being afraid. You need to fix your thoughts on things that are going wrong. You need to fix your thoughts on why we're going to hell in a handbasket in the United States of America. You need to fix your thoughts on that stuff, okay? All right, but Paul says, Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, and pure, lovely, and admirable. Then I like this, the big kicker. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. So this past Thursday, you might have watched something, and I heard more people fixing their thoughts, things that weren't admirable. Okay, just sliding that in there. Excellent. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And I'm just going to jump down to the last part of verse 9. Then, when you do all of that, then the God of peace will be with you. What are the five words that have the potential to change your life? My peace I give you. Right? He said, my peace. Not a peace. Peace. He said, my peace I give you. It's not a peace like the world gives. They don't even get it, all right? My peace I give you, all right? Now, last week, who was here last week? Did we have fun in the boat? Listen to last week. All right, so last week we talked about Jesus and his disciples are in the boat, right? They're in the boat, and all of a sudden, this big storm blows up. Talk about last night. Yeah. Bill, I need to see you after church. Everything worked, but I'll tell you later. Okay, so you know, if you think last night kept you up, here are these guys in the boat, and this big crazy storm comes up. I mean, minimum of 10-foot waves in your boat, and it's not some cabin cruiser, okay? And what do the disciples do? They do what we do. Ah, freak out, freak out, freak out. I'm scared, I'm scared, I'm scared. Not us, somebody else, right? Okay? But wait a minute. Jesus is in the boat, still with them. Ah, ah, ah! Okay. Now, it's really funny. There's almost like there's actually two storms going on. There's the visible storm. Psh, 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 and then there's this invisible storm going on. And I don't know about you. I slept last night, so the visible one, okay. But the invisible storm, that's the one that gets me. Anybody else? Yeah, all right. So we got two storms. The storm going on, then the disciples are like, oh, Jesus, don't you even care? Jesus, what are you going to do? Okay, and you know, sometimes we get like that. Like, Jesus, don't you know all the stuff I do for you? And Jesus, do you know what's going on in my life? Jesus, did you check my bank account? Jesus, don't you care? Don't you care? All right. Okay, and what does Jesus do? He gets up. They yank the pillow from him, you remember? And he gets up and he stands up. And what does he say? What does he say? Peace. Double portion. Peace. Be still. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a question. It's not a sure question. It's not a hard question. When did Jesus say those words? Not hard. When the storm was going on. In the middle of the storm. In the middle of the storm. In the middle of, don't you care, okay? So if you're writing notes, this is a good one. Perfect peace doesn't mean you won't have storms, bad days, troubles. Yeah, 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 yeah. Perfect peace doesn't mean you won't have that. Okay? Perfect peace doesn't mean Jesus is not still in the boat with you in the mess. Perfect shalom, shalom, peace, peace doesn't mean that you're not going to have troubles. Perfect peace doesn't mean you're not going to have your heart broken. Perfect peace doesn't mean there's going to be days where you feel like I do not have the strength to go one more minute. That's not perfect peace, okay? Perfect peace. Everybody say shalom, shalom. Because there's a different kind of peace, okay? The kind of peace is not based on the absence of problems, all right? And if you're taking notes, here's my other little golden nugget. Write this down. True peace is found in the presence of God. Who is in the boat? Who's in your boat? If you weren't here last week, you got to go listen to it, okay? All right. So there's a peace that the world gives, that ain't it, okay? And there's a peace that comes from our Father. Okay. You'll be kept in shalom, shalom, perfect peace, double peace when you're in his presence. Okay, quick story. Years ago, all hell blew up in my life, all over the place. And I was not in the boat with peace. Okay, I wasn't doing well. And I walked out my deck, and we had a big tree with a swing, like a big porch swing. I got rid of the kids' swing. I put myself a big porch thing, you know? Okay, and I'm sitting on that, and Jack leans over the deck, and he says, "Are you all right?" Because he knew I was not in perfect peace. And I said, "Give me a few minutes. I'll get there." And I had my Bible out, and I just got into the presence of God. What do you mean, got in the presence of God? Well, the Word of God's a good place to start. And I didn't start in Ecclesiastes, you know.
Job.
Okay, I started in the Gospels. Amen. About who my Savior is, who my Father is, what he's done in my life. And I got off that porch swing, and I said, "We got it. We're good." So, okay, confession time. I'm really telling you. You're the pastor? I'm a person, all right? And this Word of God works for everybody. Okay, so I'm preaching this today, and my voice gets loud, and I wave, okay? And I believe it. I believe it in here. But there's times I don't believe it in here for me. I believe it for you all the time, right? Okay. All right. And so here, and I have to be really honest, because we don't lie. Pastor Sherry always said, honestly, I thought, well, we know lies. Yeah. So honestly, I deal with a type of anxiety. What? Yep. And it's sort of like it happens week after week, Sunday after Sunday. You know why? Because I go to God's Word. I do this all week for y'all for Sunday. And I'm like, "God, what do you want me to say to everybody? God, what do you want me to say?" Okay? And I really would love to have him type it all out for me. Second best, I'll take an audible voice. But he hasn't done that yet, okay? So it's easy for you to think, "Oh, it should be easy," okay? When the weight of that is really hard for me, okay? Now, I've been upstairs in this pulpit for 15 years, so that's a lot of messages. Y'all have had a lot of messages, a lot of series. And before that, I was downstairs teaching your kids a lot of messages and a lot of series, okay? And it's work. It is work, all right? And don't even ask me hours. So every year, I go back to the book. I go every year, and David. Every year, I read that, and David kills Goliath. Every year, same thing. You know? Some pastor reading into something new. Same thing, okay? And I don't mean to whine, but listen to this. Just coming up with a topic and a theme and you know, it can be really difficult. And then I got to study once I get the topic and the text, and then I got to study. And then I do this deep dive. I just get lost in what the Bible scholars say and this and that and Bible trivia, you know? And then I study 100 things that I'm not even going to share with you. I get lost in space, you know? All right, so here's the thing. Oh, yeah, and then occasionally I got to put pictures up here or an object lesson. Why? So you don't, okay? Or I have to do something silly. I have to fall on the ground and roll over, and then I couldn't get off the ground. That was really fun. I had to crawl over to get up, okay? All right, okay, I'm just saying, okay? So here's the deal. Jesus said to me, "My peace I give you." And yet, there's a lot of times I don't feel it. Anybody? So let me tell you how you solve that problem. Okay, I'm going to tell you a story. All right. So you know, I told you last week Jack was a private pilot. Not the big birds, the little birds. 665, Golf Alpha, okay? And I remember the first, that's the call name. If you weren't here last year, last week, you don't know nothing, now you do. So I remember the first time I flew with him, it was with the instructor. So Jack's on the seat one, and the instructor, I got bumped to the back seat, is in seat two, and they both got their yoke steering wheel. I called it a steering wheel. It's a yoke. All right, and I am nervous. I'm nervous. And now this instructor had clocked a zillion billion hours, and everybody just really liked him. He was really good. He's reputable. But I am in this plane, and Jack is a student driver, flyer, right? He's on seat one, and I'm in the back, and there's this guy. So I say to this guy, this instructor, really nice, and I could not remember his name. But anyway, I'll call him Joe. So I said to Joe, hey, Joe, if the engine dies, are we going to die? Die? And he goes, no way. I go, No. How do you know? He says, well, first off, we're flying out of Thomasville. You all know where Thomasville? Yeah. Little Thomasville. And he says, there's lots of fields where we're going. Don't worry about it. If the engine dies, there's only one engine in these things. If the engine dies, I'm just going to land it in a field. We're not going to die. Sure? We're 50-50? 75-75? We're not going to die? He goes, listen, I've done this before. We're going to, you know, if the engine dies, I'm going to land it in a field. Probably all you in Thomasville. Okay? All righty. So, and are you sure? I was, you know, because I am a nervous flyer. You should see me driving, right? I am a nervous flyer. I am a good driver if I am the fancy. Okay, anyways, another story. Okay, and he's like 100%. He's not afraid. He's not worried. He's not in anxiety. And he gave me his peace. That was it. So, back to me trying to get messages every week, okay? And I feel this weight, okay? And doing weddings and funerals? Imodium AD. Yeah. You don't know what I'm talking about. I'll tell you later. I'm embarrassed. Okay. So, what do I do? What do you do? Do the only thing I know to do. Okay? I'm going to study the Word, and I'm going to pray a lot more. I'm going to study less, and I'm going to pray more. Okay? And I'm going to fix my thoughts on God and what His Word says, peace. And I'm going to keep my thoughts on His promises and going to get it. Now, it's not magic. Click. Ruby slippers, okay? Okay? It's like, oh no, sermon. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, the Word of God. Think about Jesus. All right. Yeah, fix my thoughts on Jesus. Yeah, I'm gonna fix my thoughts on Jesus. Oh yeah, fix my thoughts on Jesus, okay? And the power of His Word, and then the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me. All righty. So I actually still have to do some work, by the way, okay, like hours. So when I study, and then I'm going to study, and then I'm going to trust Him. And I'm going to give it to Him. Amen. So you're going to discover what I discovered. Ready? When you put your, you know, all that stuff, your problems in His hands. When you put your problems in His hands, He will give you peace. He will give you His peace. What did He say? My peace I give you. All right. So, anybody here tired of pseudo-worldly peace? Anybody tired of that, right? Okay, tired of that it doesn't last? Well, today's a good day for shalom, peace. Take hold of that peace. And as a matter of fact, Paul describes this. You're all in Philippians 4. Back up to verse 6. Philippians 4, 6. By the way, Paul's writing this, and he is not at the Hilton. He's in prison, And it ain't York County prison with air conditioners and TVs and basketball hoops. Go Google it. You'll be shocked, okay? So Paul is writing this to Christians. Just one more thing, all right? He's about ready to get his head chopped off. He's on the verge of being executed, okay? And he's writing this. Philippians 4:6. Do not be anxious. Do not worry about anything. Do not. Everybody say do not.
Do not.
All right, do not. Okay, stop. So here we go. What is the thing that's weighing you down? I told you all my laundry, so I'm talking to you. What's the thing that's weighing you down? What's the thing that's got you anxious? What's the thing that you've got on loop that you're worrying about? All right, what's the thing? Because God's word says, do not worry. Do not be anxious. You should write that down. Okay, keep reading. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, you know, in the boat, every situation, by prayer and petitions with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Okay? And then what? And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. All right. So what if you take what's going on in your mind and you give it to God? He's going to give you this peace that everybody else in the world would be going, you ought to be going, don't you care? Scared, worried, okay? Okay? And you've got this heavenly, supernatural peace in your life. That's my goal, all right? Now, maybe you're here and I just want to say, it's time. How about somebody say, it's time. It's time to fix your mind on what God says. It's time to fix your mind on the truth of the word. It's time. It's time to tell the devil he's a liar. He's a liar. It's time to believe what the truth of God's word says, that my God is for me, that my God loves me, that my God is working out in every situation for good because I love him. How about it's time to say, there is no weapon formed against me that will prosper. It's time to say that God is always good and God is for me and he'll never leave me or forsake me. How about saying it's time? You know, guys, it's time. It's time, all right? So you're ready to put your problems in his hands? Leave them there? All right. Jesus willed you something. He included you in his will. Ready? And he could have put anything in the will. I love when people write, and I give to my dear Aunt Gertrude my tea set. Okay? I don't want your tea set. Okay. And he could have said, you know, no, but really, he could have said, I leave you, I will you in my will my purpose. I will you my persistence. I will you my passion. He could have, and there's a little sideline on that, but really, he didn't. He says five words, ready? Amen. It's the peace of God. It's the peace of God. And it's not a world peace. The world does not get it. You know, you come, you walk in that peace, they look at you going, how come you're not spazzed out? How come you're not crying? How come you're not this? They don't get it. So the world doesn't get it, and the world can't take it from you. Because whoever controls their life. You control how you're going, all right? So, can I pray for you? Bow your heads, close your eyes. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and Lord, we need shalom, shalom, perfect peace. And if you're here today, and you're just feeling the weight of whatever's going on in your life, you have something that's making you anxious, there's something that's the weight that just won't go away. You're worried about someone. You're worried about something. Maybe you're worried about your health. Maybe you're worried about someone else's health and the bad report. And maybe you're worried about your finances. Maybe you're worried about your kids. I've had a few of those days. Maybe you're worried about your marriage. Maybe you're here today and you're worried about the job. Or you're worried about your business. All right. So what is it that's weighing you down? And if you give it to the Lord in prayer, if you lift your hands up to Him and say, God, I give this to You, and then give Him thanks and praise, wouldn't your life be better? So, if you're here today and you are weighed down and anxious and worried about anything, let's just right now take your hands and say, God, I give You this in prayer. And I'm now going to give thanks and praise for Your peace, this situation that You are working out. And I will walk in Your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 I'm still working on this, all right? Because every day, anybody get hit with something, you know, even today, every day there's stuff flying around here. But He promised you a double portion of peace. So everybody say, come on, my peace I give you. Father, I thank You for Your peace in our life. I thank You, Father, that these words have been heard with our ears, processed in our mind, Father, and they are deep in our heart. Father, today we leave here in peace and agents of peace wherever we go. Like what Pastor Sherry says, we carry a smell of the Lord Jesus, of His peace today, Father, wherever we go. And tomorrow when we go back to work, Father, we declare we walk in and have Your peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okie dokie. So if you would like prayer for anything, I have some people that will come up front here that will pray with you. Their coffee's good and strong and hot. And hey, thank you guys back there. And thank you, worship team. And thank you all for coming to ICF. And if you'd like to still sign up for water baptism, there's sign-up sheets in the back. Amen. Have a wonderful day. Look at that, 15 minutes early. Whoa. I'm really working it, cutting it. Yeah.